Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and just when we thought de Blasio-related investigations were the biggest potential corruption probes going on in New York, along does come one involving one of the closest aides and one of the closest people personally to Governor Andrew Cuomo.
I know Joe Prococo for many years, and he is a good man, and I would be shocked if he did anything wrong.
The governor last night, Joe Prococo, currently a vice president at Madison Square Garden, was previously an aide to Cuomo as governor and in 2014 an official of the Cuomo reelection campaign. Apparently, it was that time working for the campaign, technically off the state payroll, when Prococo started taking consulting fees and other payments from companies that do business with the state. His wife reportedly had one even when Prococo was on the public payroll. U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara is investigating if any of this was corrupt. At a news conference on the matter last night, the governor claimed not to know any details of his close friend's income himself. He says he never asked.
There would be no reason to say, who did you represent? That there was nothing out of the ordinary.
We'll find out more now from Daily News Albany Bureau Chief Ken Lovett, who also happens to be the journalist who is the recipient of the leaked memo from the State Board of Elections, the memo written by the State Board of Elections, we don't know who leaked it, referring some of Mayor de Blasio's fundraising to state and federal prosecutors. Hi, Ken. Welcome back to WNYC.
It's good to be back.
Let's talk about Cuomo first and then de Blasio, Cuomo and Prococo first. Can you describe how close Prococo and the governor are? I see Cuomo described him as a third son to his father, Mario Cuomo, at Mario's funeral. Are these guys like brothers?
Yeah, they are like brothers. They've known each other for decades. Joe Prococo started out working for Mario Cuomo. He worked with Andrew Cuomo when Cuomo was the HUD secretary under Bill Clinton. He was with him in 2002 when he tried to run for election for governor for the first time. Worked with him in the attorney general's office, right through the governor's office. But it's not just a professional. There's a lot of professional people who have been around the governor for years and years. But this is a real personal relationship. As you said, at Mario Cuomo's funeral, he described Prococo as my father's third son, who oftentimes he probably loved more.
That was an affectionate joke to make at his own expense. I also see Prococo as the guy who personally, physically blocked gubernatorial primary candidate Zephyr Teachout from asking the governor a question at a parade they both attended during the campaign in 2014. Was Prococo more of a body man than a policy man?
He was more of the political hatchet man than—he's not so much a body man, but when things needed to get done politically, it was Prococo that Cuomo turned to. If that meant talking to people in the legislature, if that meant talking to unions or trying to fix a situation, that's what Prococo's main role was. It wasn't developing policy.
Is the heart of the investigation about what Prococo did while working for the campaign as opposed to when he was a state employee?
Well, we honestly don't know. I mean, he was a state employee in 2014 for a little bit, both at the beginning of the year through April. He went to the campaign in April, and then he returned to the state payroll in December. So the question is, when did he start taking on these clients? Did the governor know? The governor says he did not know. What the governor said yesterday, which raised some eyebrows, is, you know, Prococo said to him, when I'm managing your campaign, I might also take on some other clients. But supposedly, the governor never asked, and they never had a follow-up discussion saying, who are those clients? Did you get any clients? We also don't know what happened once Prococo went back onto the payroll. Did those clients still pay him? Did he get involved in any issues that those clients had before the state? We don't know any of those questions. Yeah. On top of that, his wife has been paid. His wife was a former school teacher. It was paid by a consultant tied to an energy firm that's building a power power plant and wants to build a power plant in Orange County, in upstate Orange County. She's been paid as something. We don't even know what the role was, but she got paid, you know, almost possibly six figures from this group. And we don't know what she did. She's been paid since 2012.
So that we know was a payment to his wife when Prococo definitely was on the state payroll.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you know the law in that respect? How does the law treat spouses of aides to the governor?
No, they can. I mean, look, we've had it, you know, when Howard Glazier was the governor's director of state operations, his wife for a little while, his wife Karen Hinton, who's now Mayor de Blasio's chief spokeswoman, she was a consultant, a private consultant. She had clients that had business before the state. It was reported it was a political embarrassment for the governor, but it wasn't illegal. You know, Libby Pataki, when George Pataki was governor, she got consulting jobs through Ronald Lauder, who was a big-time donor to Pataki, and so she, you know, she had jobs through him. So, you know, but again, I guess we don't know what she was doing. We don't know why she was paid, what she was doing for the money. And to be fair, we don't know that about Prococo either. You know, we know he got paid by two groups, or at least that's what he put on his firm, Core Development, and also an Albany-based engineering firm. And the weird thing is Core Development says they never hired Jill Prococo. And even yesterday after his filings came out and we called Core back and said, well, he says you paid him, you know, up to 100,000 or whatever it was. They said no. We never paid him. We never had a contract with him. We never hired him.
That's really bizarre. My eyebrows really went up when I saw that in your story today. And this is a company that has business before the state. Would they have any
business?
What?
Big business before the state. And both these companies that contracted with him are also big time donors to the governor.
Why would the company, if they do, have an incentive to deny a relationship that took place? Or why would Prococo have an incentive to make up that he was paid by this company?
We don't know. Maybe it was done through a third party. We do know that one of the people the feds are looking into is a lobbyist named Todd Howe. Todd Howe was also served under Mario Cuomo and was Andrew Cuomo's deputy chief of staff at HUD, a longtime friend of the family. Todd Howe has been around. He's been involved. He's a D.C.-based lobbyist, but he's been involved in a lot of the companies that have had business before the state, particularly with what's known as the Buffalo Billion, which is the governor's signature upstate economic development program. From what I was told a few days ago, it was Howe who arranged some of these business dealings for Prococo. So maybe there was a third person. Maybe Core went through Howe and paid him. Who knows? I mean, we just don't know. That's one of the questions. We also don't know, and none of the firms answered this when I asked them yesterday. You know, they keep saying they're cooperating with the feds, just not with the media. And what they've said was, you know, I asked them, what did he do for the money? How did you come about hiring him? Was Todd Howe involved? What did you pay him for? Did you pay him once he went back to the state payroll? And they would not answer those types of questions.
The feds have subpoena power. We don't.
Exactly.
Did Prococo help influence the governor or anyone else to give his clients what they wanted?
Again, we don't know, but boy, wouldn't you think that's a kind of incentive if you can hire the governor's campaign manager? You know, even if you buy that he wasn't on the state payroll at the time, he was Cuomo's campaign manager. And this isn't like he was a consultant. The governor kept referring to him yesterday as, you know, he was a consultant for my campaign. There are a lot of consultants who have a lot of different clients. Joe Prococo was a consultant of one. Joe Prococo, for his entire career, has really been with the Cuomos. And he went over as the campaign manager, not as an independent private campaign consultant, but as Cuomo's campaign manager, you know, coming right out of the administration. Then all of a sudden you have two companies that have business before the state, big business before the state, who also happen to be donors to the governor, giving this guy up to $125,000 combined in 2014 while he was off the payroll. Well, what did he do? Was there any influence expected? We don't know any of those questions, or the answers to any of those questions.
And one of the questions that you said we don't know the answer to is whether he gave up those extra paydays when he went back on the public payroll, as he was supposed to give them up in December of 2014. Well, Cuomo says he knows and says, in fact, he says the answer is obvious. Listen.
He told me that he might accept other consulting contracts. He then came back to state service at one point after the campaign. When he came back to state service, obviously he stopped representing the other clients.
When he came back to state service, he obviously stopped representing other clients.
But we don't know that, and part of the problem is we won't know that until and if and when this is hashed out by the feds, because Joe Prococo left the state payroll for good to become a vice president over at Madison Square Garden. He left in January of this year. Mm-hmm. Well, this is May. This is when employees, state employees, have to file their financial disclosure forms for last year, for 2015. So if we were going to find out whether or not he had any outside income in 2015, it would be this month. The problem is he's not a state employee anymore, so he's not obligated to file those records anymore. So we won't even be able to check that.
Preet Bharara, the U.S. attorney, did investigate Cuomo in conjunction with all that Moreland Commission stuff and finally announced that there would be no charges forthcoming against the governor. Is he investigating the governor again in relation to this?
Well, we don't know. And what he said is there would be no charges against the governor or his aides, the administration, basically. Right now, he obviously, if there's something to be had on the governor, if I'm Preet Bharara, and I'm not saying there's something to be had on the governor, but if there were, having Joe Prococo and Todd Howe in your sights is certainly the way to get there. You know, these are the two guys who are closest to him, who really, especially Prococo, really know if there's anything to be known. And again, I'm not saying there is. We don't know, mm-hmm. and I'm not suggesting there is. But if you're asking whether Preet Bharara is investigating the governor, certainly he's been investigating the governor's Buffalo Billion program for potential bid rigging. There was a company owned by a guy named Louis Simonelli up in Buffalo, who's a big-time donor to the governor, gave nearly $100,000 to his campaigns over the years. He won a contract when the request for proposals went out for this contract to build a manufacturing plant that the state will own, but it'll house Solar City, which manufactures solar panels. When the request for proposals for that construction project went out, it was written in a way that only Simonelli's company would have qualified. They got called on it. They said, oh, it was a mistake. They reworded the request for proposal, but in the end, Simonelli still got that project. So Preet Bharara is looking into how contracts were awarded and whether or not there was bid rigging or favoritism. And now the governor has hired a former U.S. attorney official who headed the criminal division in the Southern District's U.S. Attorney's Office when Rudy Giuliani was the U.S. attorney, to do an internal investigation to see what might have happened and what kind of changes need to be made.
Ken Lovett, Albany Bureau Chief for the Daily News, and let's move from the governor to the mayor. On the leaked memo about de Blasio, leaked to you, I gather, from your colleague Jennifer Firmino, who said that on the show yesterday, for publication.
Thank you, Jen.
In the Daily News. The mayor suggested on this show on Friday, as he has elsewhere, that the leak of a memo written by a Cuomo appointee suggests someone is doing a political hit job on him. I would never ask a journalist to reveal a confidential source, but without revealing a source, can you tell the public anything about the motivation of whoever wanted this secret memo made public?
I will say this, and it's what I say to anyone who always brings this kind of stuff up, not just in this case, but any case. Nobody comes to you with a story, no matter who it is, I would say 99% of the time, because they just want to give you a good story. Most people have a motive in coming to a reporter with something. As a reporter, I don't care what that motive is. I really don't. I mean, to me, the issue is what I'm being offered, is what I'm receiving a legitimate news story? And this, I thought, was certainly rose to that level when a Board of Elections chief investigator is saying that there was willful violations of to try and evade the campaign finance law by Mayor de Blasio and his campaign finance team, I think that's a legitimate story, whatever the reason behind it is. I will also say that, Sugarman certainly has worked for the governor since, who put this report together, certainly has worked for the governor since 2007, but the matter was referred unanimously by the Board of Elections, which is made up of two Republicans and two Democrats.
Right. So I've heard it suggested, if we're trying to figure out if there was a political agenda to get de Blasio here, the two Democrats would be Cuomo appointees. Cuomo wants to hurt de Blasio. The two Republicans, well, they'd be tied to the New York State Republican Party, which obviously wants to hurt de Blasio. So that doesn't necessarily wipe clean any suspicion, right?
No, but, I think if you dig deep on anything, look, the question to me, I think a lot of people are looking into it, and I understand why, obviously. But the legitimate questions to me isn't so much the motive behind the leak, and that's an interesting one, but is the legitimacy of the report. The de Blasio people, say it's bunk. They say that they followed the law, that this was nothing there, and that's why they're saying it's political. Sugarman certainly felt differently. And I will say that, obviously, as of right now, the Manhattan DA's office and with assistance from Preparara's office, the U.S. attorney, is aggressively investigating it. If they felt it was political bunk, you think they would have just dismissed it right away or shortly after. But they are, they're bringing people in. They've issued subpoenas to different groups around the mayor, to five consulting firms, or at least one consulting firm, tied to the mayor, to Emma Wolf, one of his top aides. So, they're taking it seriously. And I think, it's a smart political move by the mayor to try and deflect attention. And certainly it is a legitimate question for him to ask, is am I being targeted? But on the other hand, there are people taking it seriously. There is law enforcement. And I don't know where it's going to wind up. The mayor's people certainly say they did nothing wrong and the law is on their side. And ultimately the DA and I guess U.S. and Preparara will determine that.
The law is, correct me if I'm wrong, that once the State Board of Elections refers something like this to the prosecutors, they must open a formal investigation. Is that how that works?
But I'm not sure how strong it has to be. Certainly they're going all out here, which is a smart move on their part. I mean, if there's a potential here. And obviously it's one of a number of investigations right now. But I'm not clear. That I would have to check how serious an investigation they would have to undertake. I don't know if you can actually, put that into legal writing, but that I'm going to plead ignorance on.
And there has been some back and forth in the press about whether Sugarman seems to be singling out the mayor for fundraising practices that are routine, presumably because he's a political rival of the governor. But I see you wrote an article this week about other cases Sugarman has pursued since Cuomo appointed her in 2014. So what's important there as it relates to the question of selective enforcement against the mayor?
Well, I mean, when they talk about selective enforcement, I think they're talking on this particular issue. But, the reality is we have not seen money flow through the county committees in the way it's happened here in prior years, before 2014, where the county committees were used basically as conduits where money, from New York City interest flowed upstate through these county committees. And why is this important? County committees at the time were allowed to accept maximum donations of $103,600, I think it was. And the Senate candidates themselves, if you were to donate directly to them, were only allowed to receive up to $10,300. So what this allowed to happen is basically, the mayor and his people were asking people to donate big money, $50,000, $100,000, $136,000, to these county committees that almost immediately turned around and put most of it into the candidates' accounts.
But I'm curious, and we're going to run out of time soon, about your take that this is so different or unique. We had, a panel of four people yesterday, including Susan Lerner from Common Cause New York, the good government group, who's a hawk on this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And her take was that this happens all the time. And the allies of Cuomo.
With the county committees.
Go ahead.
Not with the county committees, not like this. And look, I mean, and that doesn't mean anything. We've seen Preet-Bharara push the boundaries on different issues. We've seen even Risa Sugarman. She, you know, they brought charges. She referred a case, and the Attorney General's office brought charges against a former Assembly candidate who didn't file their campaign disclosure reports. It hadn't been done much in the past, but there's certainly, you know, they're being more aggressive now in the atmosphere we're in. I don't know where it ends up, but I mean, there's legitimate issues to be looked at, certainly, I think.
All right. Investigations into the mayor, investigations into the governor. Ken Lovett, Albany bureau chief for the Daily News, covering much of it. Thank you so much for joining us, Ken.
Anytime. Be well.